You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now.
What's up, everybody? This is the Radiant Culture Podcast, and this is your host, Cookie Monster. And today is yet another day for us to have an exciting, intriguing conversation about life, about God, about pop culture, just about everything that's happening around us. And today is a bit of a different episode, just a bit of a different setup, because we're joined by a guest all the way from the USA. And they're going to be... Yeah, it's just going to be really, really interesting, because we're talking about, I think, something that we may have touched on a bit in previous podcasts, but this one is going to be slightly different. Yeah, I think we're going to love it. But first of all, I'm going to just start by introducing our guest. Our guest is Tamiko Richardson. I hope I said that right. Tamiko, how's it going?
It's going well. How about you?
Going good, thanks. Going good. You know, I always find that when I talk to different people, especially people from different countries, I always hear different names, right? So this is actually my very first time hearing the name Tamiko. What does it mean?
It's actually of Japanese origin. It means faithful. I'm not Japanese. there was actually a movie out years ago that my parents watched when my mom was pregnant, and it was called A Girl Named Tamiko, and that's how I'm named.
Oh, nice, man. Yeah. Nice. That's really cool. All right, cool. So we're going to jump straight into the conversation, into the discussion for the day. And Tamiko, you are part of, or you have released a film, a feature film, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. It's called At the Cross.
At the Cross, yeah. So as we get into the conversation, I just want us to start by talking about that At the Cross. What is it about? What inspired you to do that? How did that all pan out?
So At the Cross is a feature film that takes the audience through the lens of a pastor who faces some modern day dilemmas as it relates to church. Basically trying to maintain the interest of the existing members of the church, handling the new people and the marginalized groups that want to or need to come to church, but are afraid because of judgment of the people in the church. And then you have also the dilemma of trying to grow the church without leaning on trying to be too relevant, but also keeping God's kingdom in mind. So that's what the feature is about. And it kind of handles a lot of the things that many churches are facing, especially after the pandemic.
Right.
So I think it's relevant in these times, in terms of it basically gets everyone's eyes open in terms of what the church is, what the church can be, and how people who are in those marginalized community can grow closer to God.
Wow, yeah, I love that. Totally love that. And then about yourself, are you in the media space? And what's some of the work that you've done in this space?
I'm a native New Yorker. My background is a combination of being a tech entrepreneur. So I'm definitely a techie. And I have that across corporate experience, being in the sports fields and sports industry as well as media and entertainment. The premise of, I guess, this particular feature that was done at the Cross is because I'm also a third generation kid of preachers and pastors. So I'm kind of like a granddaughter and the great granddaughter of both preachers and pastors on my mother's side.
Oh, and, nice.
So the idea is also not just to make money in the world, but also be a vessel and shine light on some purposeful content as a producer, director, and writer to hopefully elevate and inspire others in their living.
Lovely, lovely. I love this. And I've got a couple of more questions that I'm going to ask, but I think I want to ask them as the discussion progresses. But the one thing that I want to know is, you're a writer, producer, director. What's some other work that you've done? Because I'm pretty sure you've got other short films and perhaps feature films as well under your belt.
Yeah, so I guess one of the films was or one of the short films was called Fourth Down. That was done in 2020, 2021, by the time it was edited. And that was about a female's journey in a predominantly male sports industry, and how that affects the females, what their actual truths are about that. And I think that kind of focuses in on, their celebration of all these individuals that are being quote unquote named the first of whatever, like, first to walk across the street, first to accomplish whatever. But there's not enough focus on the individuals that pioneered, and what they had to endure to even get a person to be the first. And those people are usually never recognized. So that's more about that one.
All right.
There's a And then there's also another short film called I Am Him, that we just finished, in terms of editing last month. And that actually is a short film about two best male friends, I should say, that navigate through life's challenges while trying to uphold that mantra of, quote unquote, they are okay. And it deals with the embarrassments that men don't like to address with each other, like financial woes, relationship challenges, sexual harassment at the job, like those hard decisions that they have to make about manhood when it comes to their careers. But it encourages good mental health and good mental health wellness that men need to talk it out instead of walking it out. So that's one, and that will actually be turned into a series.
That's pretty awesome. Wow, I'm really loving your body of work and just the things you're mentioning, and I can just from what you've described so far, I think it really I think lines up with a lot of the stuff that we've been discussing here on Radiant Culture, both on and offline. But I just wanted to get straight into the discussion of the day because in our previous episode we spoke about the church and the question that we're posing was whether the church is inclusive enough. And of course that discussion had it touched on a lot of different things. And I guess I want to ask you because, obviously you're living in the US, you're living in New York. You live in New York, yeah?
Yes.
Right. And we're out here, we're in Africa, we're in Zimbabwe, and of course our cultures are very different. Just both culture on a grand scale and church culture as well, very different. And I'm just curious to know. I've been to New York, by the way. I spent some time in New York several years back. I actually attended church there. I was in New Jersey, and then I would spend quite a bit of time in New York. So I got a bit of a glimpse of what the culture is like there because I was there for several weeks. And I noticed some differences that are there. Just I guess with our culture. And I was attending a church that was quite what do you call it? Like I think it was like a Baptist kind of church. But the question that I want to ask just about the church, especially church culture over there, is do you find that church is the church open to everybody? In fact, let me qualify my question. Do you have the kind of scenario where if a church is in a particular community, only certain people tend to find that they fit in, they fit into that church? Or is the church culture over there very sort of inclusive and open to anybody who wants to come to church?
Now that's a hard question. And what I will preface that with is the fact that, you know, I spend time in lots of different states, because of, the main work that I do, I'll call it. So my background in church is going to be from a perspective of what I see in what I've grown up in the southern states, based on my grandparents and great grandparents being right. pastors and seeing that type of model. Also a very different model, I should say, in New York, and specifically New York City. And then also being in other areas like Texas, Florida, and which, you know, you have the Bible Belt there. Things are a lot different, a lot more different now. And then also California, which is very Hollywood in certain aspects, right? So mm-hmm. I've seen the gamut of them all. And what I will say is that there are churches that that embrace everyone, but there are churches that embrace a certain type of marginalized community more than others. And what I found in churches in specifically New York City is that there are churches that focus on the plight of the community in which they are in, and in which they built. And that means that they are focused on what that particular community needs. So if that community is really surrounded in a lot of individuals in poverty and things of that nature, mm-hmm. they will focus on a lot of the social justice issues that face that type of community. So what that means is that people that believe that the church is fighting their battle, they will tend to lean into going and attending those types of churches, right?
Right.
You have other types of churches that are more geared towards marginalized communities, like the, I don't know if you call it that in your country, but LGBTQ.
Yeah.
Or I'm probably messing it all up, but no offense to anyone.
Sure.
No offense to anyone in that particular community, but there are churches that are focused on just bringing in those types of individuals that relate to that type of living. So
okay.
it's across the board in terms of what type of church. Typically the type of churches that I go to, you know, it's, you know, everybody come as you are, but more or less we love you, but we're not just going to condone any type of behavior, if that makes sense.
Got it. Thank you for that. Thank you for that clarity. Because, you know, as you're talking, I'm just thinking about the fact that the church is such a diverse body of people. And, you know, the narrative that we often get here about, I guess, about the States and life over there is, I think, one of two things. Maybe. So there's a lot of, again, like you said, a lot of social justice issues that are at the forefront of, I guess, a lot of the media that we consume. You know, there's a lot of stuff on LGBTQ rights. There's a lot of stuff on racism, and then other contentious subjects like abortion and all this stuff. And then, you know, often you're finding that certain churches are actively involved in this. And then other churches are just, I guess, more hands off and maybe more conservative in the way that they handle it. From your perspective, and I'm really just wanting to hear your perspective on this, is when you talk about social justice issues, right, do you believe that the church is supposed to be at the forefront of addressing social justice issues? In that way, also given the fact that a lot of social justice issues end up having a bit of a political bent as well, you know, where does the church then strike that balance between standing up for the rights of people and the value of humanity and all of that, but also not then getting embroiled in the political aspect or the other agendas that may be driving some of these movements. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's two parts to that. One is, you know, I think we need to identify in general what social justice really means, mm-hmm. because I think that has different meaning to people. So at the end of the day, it's high level supposed to mean that everybody deserves equal social rights, opportunities, economics, and political, the same playing field across the board for all of that. Now, the problem with that, clearly it involves economic justice. So you're going to have, like as I mentioned before, if you have churches that are in poorer communities, I'll call it, or not well-off communities, and or serve individuals who fall into that category, the lower to middle income, and they are experiencing or seeing a high level of homelessness around them, individuals that are, you know, needing food and things of that nature, of those needs, that's a social justice that I believe that the church has to be a part of, because, you know, at the end of the day, the church is not just collecting money to line the pockets of pastors and
right.
leaders.
Right.
The church has to reach out to the community and help others. So I think I can speak for my church. You know, we have a soup kitchen, and we serve individuals in the community that may need meals and things of that nature. We have shelters for individuals who experience abuse and things of that nature. So we have that as part of our church.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely church from that particular perspective, from a social justice the church has to be a part of that, because, I mean, that's actually biblical, that we're supposed to be taking care of the people in need, the poor.
Correct.
The people who have lost husbands and wives and all of that, like that is of the church. That's of God.
Yeah.
So that, from a social justice perspective, I totally agree. Now, going back to the other side of things, where you're talking about what we would mean for social justice as it relates to political agendas, unfortunately, in America, what we have gotten now is that we have a group of quote unquote Christians
mm-hmm.
that are focused on belief matching, I'll call it, as it relates to political agendas. So there are the Christian conservatives, or the evangelicals, as they call themselves. So they basically turn the Bible into political wars for the purpose of votes,
right.
which has nothing to do with God. Right. So there is that, what they call their particular area of social justice, but it really isn't. It's basically using biblical teachings for the purpose of a political agenda. Like, you can't say thou shalt not kill, for example. That means maybe life matters, but maybe it doesn't. So it matters in the case of abortions, but it doesn't matter once the person gets here that they have a way to live in the country.
Yeah.
You know, so everyone has a right to have a gun. And as you, I don't, you know, I hope you've seen all
yeah.
the mass shootings that continue to occur in America unnecessarily. But everybody has a right to gun, or right to a gun, by the same evangelicals and Christian conservatives. So that also means they have a right to kill. And that then, depending on the type of person that kills, it should be okay. And organizations can raise money to make sure that that person has the right attorney to get away with the killing.
Hectic.
But you want to control making sure the children are born, but you don't want to provide or assist with the resources for the necessities for them to live. So
right.
there is the belief map that is not social justice. And I think that people need to be clear on that, as to what we're facing specifically in America.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot. And as you're speaking, I'm just thinking, Tomiko, that as somebody who's I'm here, I'm in Africa, of course, you know, we've got our own set of challenges, but I think it's very different from the kind of stuff that you guys have to deal with there, especially, you know, people who are in the church. So for me, the curious thing is, as somebody who's a Christian, or yeah, somebody who's genuinely just wanting to follow God and to stick to what the scriptures say and follow the truth of the scriptures, how does one navigate that? You know, just being in a society that is so agenda driven in a lot of ways, you know, where often what's on the surface is just what's on the surface. There's a whole other machine that's driving things. And on the back of that, I'm also thinking about the fact that a lot of the influence, because I don't know if you guys know this, you guys who are like you guys who are over there in America, but a lot of the influence that we get even here in Africa, in fact, in a lot of parts of the world, right? There's a huge American influence just because most of the preachers that people listen to are American. A lot of the big churches are coming out of America. A lot of Christian, I was reading something just about the amount of Christian literature and material that has been published by American authors. So people, Christians across the world consume a lot of Christian, a lot of American Christian content. And it's been like that over the years. If we look at the Puritans, if we look at just the history of Christianity itself, that a lot of the people who were instrumental in driving certain doctrines and theological positions came out of America. So there's a lot of influence that I guess America has on the church. And now when the church is when especially right now where you find that often like you're describing that, you know, often there's a lot of other things that are going on, and the Bible maybe is now being used as a tool for different things that could actually potentially impact the very same people who look to America in a lot of ways, you know, just for their stances and positions on a lot of things where church is concerned.
Yeah, I think I mean the key there is that I mean I hate to tell it to people, but don't look to America for that because we're in a mess right now. Look to God and look to the Bible. We are in a mess. At the end of the day, I think it also really depends on who the shepherd of the church is and who these church leaders are. You have to, as a person who wants to seek truth in God's kingdom and be on the right path, you have to seek the church that fits you, meets you where you are, but also gets you to the next level, if that makes sense. And in that, you have to understand who these leaders are. And a lot of times what ends up happening, and people don't recognize it sometimes, is that where you are today may not be where you are from a religious perspective 5 years from now, even a year from now, right? You may be in a different place, right? Your relationship with God may be different. Your need for the church as the body of church may be different. And then what you want to intake during your church experience may be different. So I think it's about knowing where you are and being honest about where you are currently and understanding the leader of the church. And does that leader go with biblical teachings? Do they have political agendas, or do they have specific philosophies that they are focused on, or they're focused on more motivation than they are biblical teaching and applying it to everyday living?
All right.
So, you know, I think that's basically where people have to go.
Yeah. I love that. And then I just want to come back to you, specifically just your own work, Tomiko, that given, you know, all these different things we're discussing about the church, some of the challenges that we're seeing in society, and not just over there, even over here, how would you say that you're using your influence as somebody who's a producer, who's a director? How would you say you're using the tool and the platform that you have to, I guess, to bring the truth?
For the most part, I think it's more about helping people understand where they are. Understanding that at the end of the day, the church should be that quote unquote hospital that gets them on track for better spirituality and kingdom living, and help them through their issues, whatever those issues are. I mean, clearly they could be across the board. They could have anything to do with finances. They could deal with relationships. It could deal with their lifestyle, whatever it is. And I think that that's the way that I'm using my voice and I guess my creativity in terms of real life settings where the church needs to embrace everyone as it relates to who they are, but welcome them with love and a lack of judgment, give them empathy and concern, but at the same time encourage them to be better, right? You can't just tell an individual who's, I don't know, cheating on their spouse to just come to church and, you know, it's all good, it's all good, all gravy, but then we don't talk about, yeah, that's not the right thing for you to be doing, right? So we have to make sure that we kind of strike that balance. And I think the features and or content that I have that relate around religiosity and more so Christianity, is about that, just making sure that people understand where they are and how they can get to that next level through church and what that process looks like, and also that process as it relates to church leaders. Because in America, we also have this whole dynamic of church leaders who don't want to give up being the pastor of the church. Like, you know, they get 80 and 90 years old, they're still trying to be the pastor. So we have that where, you know, the ego won't allow them to let it go. And it's very important for churches to be intergenerational, right? So even if you are that leader that is coming of age, I'll call it, you want to make sure that you have people on staff that can reach the teenagers. They have to be able to reach the individuals who are the millennials, the Gen Zs, also the baby boomers, everyone. So you have to be able to reach everyone because everyone has different struggles, right? Your struggle as a 50-year-old should not be the same struggle that a teenager or 20-year-old has, right? So all of that is embodied into the work of what I do as it relates to features on Christianity and religion in the church.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. And at the end of the episode, I'm gonna ask just for you to give us some details on how some of our listeners can access the body of work that you've done, but I'll do that towards the end. We
Sure.
so we're talking about just the church in general and some of the things that affect, I guess, church culture, church attendance, and things like that. And I'm just thinking, you spoke earlier about, because I want to touch on this a little bit, if you'll allow me. We spoke earlier about how there are different people with different belief sets who come to church, and that the church is supposed to be a place that's open for everybody to come. But obviously, it can't be a church that accommodates every kind of lifestyle, because, you know, the Bible has standards and stuff. So how do you find that? Because you spoke earlier, you said earlier that there's some churches that that have got a specific, I guess, focus on people, maybe people within the LGBTQ community, and perhaps, you know, more open to people in that community to come to church, and maybe for them to find a place that they can fellowship. Would you say that these are churches that are opening that up to actually minister to people who are in that community to help them come to a knowledge of the truth? Or is it that they're open in that they're actually then wanting to accommodate them without challenging them to change? Do you get what I'm getting at?
Yeah, and I think that that really lies in the fact that, again, it depends on your church leaders. Because if we go with that mantra, it's more of church being led by pastors who focus on political correctness and sensitivity, if that makes sense. Where it's about let's not offend anyone. Let's let everyone believe that God is only about loving everything and doing the right thing. And if you do the right thing and you're a good person, God that doesn't care about your lifestyle, that God doesn't care about your sins, and that's all that counts. And that's really a tricky situation because it doesn't focus on the kingdom, right? It just focuses on putting your arms around the individuals and saying this is a safe place for you to be you. And if you tell people, I just want you to be you, that's a little different, right? Because that's not what I'll say, that's not in the Bible, just to be you, right? It's Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, right? And all these things will be added unto you. That's very plain in terms of what it says. So it's more of a political correctness and sensitivity model in terms of those churches. And I'm not saying that that there should not be a welcoming of all people, not just that community, any other type of communities. But at the end of the day, we have to teach righteousness. And I think that may have fallen along the wayside for that.
I'm loving our discussion so far, and thanks for just all the different perspectives that you're sharing. Really loving it. I want to ask something that is a bit different, though. You're somebody who's in the arts industry and in the film industry. I found that I want to talk a bit about Tyler Perry, if you don't mind me. If you don't mind, right? And my question, especially where he's concerned, is I think for a very long time, Tyler Perry was almost like, the poster child for Christians who want to get into the film space, because it was like, wow, this guy's a Christian, and he did the whole Madea thing. He's done some really good films and stuff. And then lately, I've just seen that he's got. In fact, not even just lately. I think even in the last couple of years, there's some films that he did that I just thought, okay, this is a bit much. Just things with a lot of like graphic scenes and whatnot, whatnot, whatnot. Then I thought, okay, is he still a Christian? Or is he still wanting to push the Christian narrative, or is he just now somebody who's, who's in the industry and doing what the industry demands and whatever. But the question that I want to ask, especially you, I want to ask you because you are in this space, is why do you think that, somebody who's a Christian, or rather, how does somebody guard against, as the money starts flowing in, as the popularity starts to flow in, how does somebody who's in your sort of field guard against, I guess, succumbing to the culture and to the demands of what the industry wants you to do?
Well, I think one, you have to stand on business and stand on morals and principles. If you're not willing to do that, at the end of the day, you will succumb to anything, right? So if you lose your value set, your morals and your integrity and your character means nothing for the value of a dollar. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, you're going to do things that put you in positions of power, influence, and money, right? And again, that has nothing to do with this particular industry, entertainment industry. That's across the board. That could be sports, corporate America. That could be anywhere. If you have no integrity, so that's one thing. And I think also it's very important to understand. what you're willing to do and not do in order to get ahead. And,
That's good.
you know, God puts you in positions where you will be tested. It doesn't matter, again, what industry you're in, you will be tested. And I think that it's very important to understand what your premises are in terms of your beliefs. There are certain things. And again, people are in different industries and different domains, and they're at different points of their lives, right? So a person that's trying to break in the industry and do things may not have all the resources that a person would that does this, but also has other income and other initiatives, right? Because you can stand on your own because you're not beholden to other people's fundings from, you know, the powers that be in order to make your content. So I think that that drives it a lot where people have that. As far as Tyler Perry, and honestly speaking, I probably have seen maybe two movies ever of Tyler Perry's, and they actually diverge in how they were made. But I think that he always started with the premise of course, being comical, but also focusing on teaching a lesson of some sort within his movies.
Right.
I don't know what he's veered to. Like, I've heard and seen on social media about some things that he's ventured off into now. But again, I haven't watched it. And that's not because any type of hatred towards him. There's a lot of things I don't partake into my system.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that I just don't have time for because I'm doing a whole lot of other things. So there's only 24 hours in a day and I have to be very conscious of how I spend my time. But at the end of the day, a person like Tyler Perry has done a lot for especially the Black creators and Black visionaries as it relates to production, content, writing, et cetera. He's offered a lot of jobs. He has the studio, the Monster Studio out in Georgia that is, you know, bigger than the studios that are in California that make a lot of film. So he's done a lot in that. And, you know, I think he is to be commended for his work in regards to that as a pioneer who has not won awards, right? He hasn't won an Oscar or Emmys or anything of that nature, but he still surpassed all the people, if you would, that have in terms of being able to do that and afford opportunities to others. I don't know what the motives are at this point, because I mean, I'm guessing by now he should be a billionaire, and there should be no need to there should be no need to be liked and wanted within the industry at this point in stage of his life. But again, there are different audiences that are out there. And, you know, is the point to attract and engage all types of audiences for your content? For me, it is not. But for, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know what people's agendas are.
Yeah. So. I hear you. And I guess this is where it gets a bit tricky sometimes, where as somebody, even if the intention is to produce content that has some sort of a lesson embedded in it, I think that the challenge is as you grow bigger, to what degree do you need to keep pushing the envelope? And as you push the envelope, are you also now starting to compromise on the values that you ought to be upholding as a Christian? And of course, like you said, this applies across the board to different industries and stuff. So it's just something that I've been thinking about. I've got nothing against the guy at all, but I just think, you know, it's a difficult one because, you know, we've been talking a lot about just the whole subject of persecution in the church, right? Like just me and my friends, just the fact that the church, as we get towards the end times, whenever that's going to be, but we're starting to see certain things happen in the world that you're like, okay, more and more, you know, being a Christian is becoming less and less cool, especially in the public square. A lot of people are actually anti-Christianity in a lot of ways. And sometimes it's more subtle, sometimes it's just more blatant. And I guess, you know, as somebody who's a Christian, and since we're talking about the church, that if you're part of a church, then it's going to have to be a church that is also conscious of the fact that standing up for Christ might mean that you'll be disliked, might mean that you will be canceled, might mean that you'll be persecuted in some way. And, you know, often my concern is, and myself included, right? My concern is often that, you know, are we prepared to pay the price to be the kind of disciples that Christ wants us to be?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think, I don't think that people are against Christianity. I think that they are against people, right? So it's not about anti-Christ, because, you know, God is who he is, right? The Alpha, the Omega, all of that. But at the end of the day, I don't think people are against Christ. They're against the people that preach Christ, who are antithetical to what God is about. So you have an individual who is leading, I'll call it, and there's more focus on the greed and or need for more money, right? So when people see that you have religious leaders who are focused on lining their pockets, they turn that into a situation of, you know, the church is nothing but a business. Well, the church has always been a business. And in order to have a proper church, it has to be run like a business, right? Because you can't give to the community if you don't have money coming in, right? You can't feed the poor if you don't have money coming in. You can't put on educational panels and provide resources and career and job training and have individuals come in to help others, you know, for Alzheimer's awareness or health and fitness and all of these different things if you don't have money to fund it. You can't build shelters to help people who are abused physically or homeless for a season in their life between jobs. You can't do that without money.
Correct.
So when people label the church and they have problems with the church as a business, they don't see the whole picture, right? What they're looking at is the collection plates, what the actual leaders are doing. You know, if they're in this particular country, if they're riding around in Bentleys, or if they have private jets and things of that nature, like, I think a lot of people see that and get turned off by the church, not by Christ. And that's two different things. And in fact, there's three different things. It's turned off by the leader who is leading the church and not Christ. And people need to kind of bifurcate the difference between Christ and the leaders and the people of the church. So I think that, you know, that's a problem. A lot of other things are right now is that they're turned off by individuals who preach or teach one thing and they're doing another in their personal lives, right? Nothing's worse than a hypocrite who's a spiritual leader, right? So you can't be out here talking about live holy and be righteous and, you know, you're the pastor and you have, you know, three baby mamas, one's in the choir stand, one's on the motherboard, one's on the, you know, the trustee board. You can't, like, you can't do that. So that also turns people off, right? Because they see how these people live, right?
Yeah.
and random, during the pandemic, that we're experienced here, there's an actual church that there's a pastor in one city that comes to my church in New York all the time. And it was interesting that I was actually in Texas randomly and I'd gotten my hair done and the lady had moved from that area where that pastor was. And she said that she couldn't go to church anymore because that pastor was doing X, Y, and Z. And I'm just like, wow. So she's totally turned off from church completely because what a pastor did in that particular state. And she actually had it wrong It wasn't the pastor. It was the pastor trying to protect one of the individuals that was actually on his deacon board.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it's a matter of people need to understand that there's a separation between God, the church leaders, and the church parishioners, and the church leaders and the church parishioners, while they are all human, we are all human, I should say, and we're all going to make mistakes. But at the end of the day, we have to say, show that same empathy, concern, and forgiveness for all, and not be so arrogant and entitled and judgmental towards others that they turn people off from Christ.
That's it. That's it right there. I agree with you. And I think that's why we need to be even more circumspect as both as congregants, because when you're somebody who goes to church, people are looking at you and people are looking at your example. Then of course, if you're a church leader, there's even a higher requirement for you to present yourself in a certain way, you know, so that at every opportunity you're representing Christ, you're representing the truth. And then, of course, you know, there are always then going to be people who have their own ideas about the church, who have their own ideas, maybe out of hurt, maybe just out of hearsay or other misconstrued ideas they have about the church. You know, that can happen. But I think it's still our responsibility as believers to make sure that we present, we live lives that are worthy of our calling and of our Lord. As we wrap up, I just want to, I guess, two things that I just want to ask you. The first thing is, what would you say to somebody who is out there? Maybe it's a young person, or maybe it's just anybody who's listening, who's wanting to get specifically into your sort of industry, and you know, somebody who's wanting to begin, and maybe they want to represent God. They really want to, but they want to get into the film and media space. What sort of advice would you give them? What steps can they take, just from your own experience?
Well, I can't say from my own experience because, I have some really good mentors that I already knew before I jumped in. So what I can say is one, understand what their moral, they first need to understand what their morals and principles are and identify what they want to bring to the table. Is it just content? They don't care. Is it just, they don't want to send a mission or have a mission or inspiration or influence others. It's just for entertainment. Then that's one thing. But if they're trying to do something that's inspirational, they need to understand what their morals and values are going to be. And are they going to stick to that till the end, right? Because if you have a message that people in the industry don't want to be pushed out, you're going to get a lot more no's than you are going to get yeses, right?
Right.
So you have to understand that. The other part is you have to get thick skin. And that's not just for in this industry, that's for everywhere. You have to get thick skin. There's going to be a lot of rejection. So you can't take things personally. You have to work on that specifically before you get into anything related to entertainment. And you have to understand that your talent doesn't always preclude and mean that you are going to be a success in the majority's eyes, right? Because your talent can take you far, but your character is always going to take you further, especially when it comes to being in the kingdom of God. So I think
Amen.
that's the first part. Those three things are the first things. The other thing I think that people should do, and not just with this industry, but they should intern, right? So look for an internship to
Right.
be a part of, to be part of a actual set, filmmaking set, and make sure that you understand as maybe like a production assistant as a start, right? To understand all the different gamuts that go on and the areas that they're involved in, right? Because being a production assistant can help you understand what the cinematographer does, what the first AD does, the second AD, et cetera, the gaffer, the lighting, all the camera operators, the set design, and help you understand what you really want to do, right? And focus on that. And I think that that'll help you understand what your path is, because maybe you don't want to do any of that. Maybe you just want to do editing, right? If there are so many areas of it, and I think that's a first start in terms of doing that.
Lovely, lovely. And then my last question is, how do people access some of your work?
So you can have a Roku, Amazon Prime Video. They're all up there at the Cross. I Am Him. They actually will be released. They all will be there, I should say. They will be released in the first week of April. So if
All right.
anyone wants to go there, they can see that particular work. Right?
Okay, awesome. I love it. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Tamiko. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us and to have this conversation with us. Hopefully this is the first of many, and well done for all the work that you're doing and just putting it for putting in the hours, putting in the work to make this happen. And it's great to see a fellow sister in the Lord doing stuff like this. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you. And we're going to keep it coming, and we may have to shoot some type of film in
Oh
Africa and
yeah.
see the difference of the culture. It would be
Deb,
awesome.
you are so welcome. You are welcome. And
Excellent.
you must start with Zim when you come.
Okay, Zimbabwe first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right.
All right, thank you very much, Tamiko.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, this is Radiant Culture. Thank you to our listeners for listening to this very enlightening conversation and discussion. And of course, as usual, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on our socials, Facebook, Instagram, or you can email us. You know the email address. So yeah, from us here, this is your host, Cookie Monster. We are out.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot, it's fresh, it's uncut. Hashtag Real Talk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.